We are glad that you have chosen to join us today, and we hope that you'll join us for our whole Lenten journey that we'll be taking over the next 6 weeks. Wanted to let you know that we've started collecting items for goodie baskets for families that have been recovering from COVID and other issues. There are some suggestions for goodie bag donations in our e-news, but we would also accept cash donations to our First Cares Fund. We've been using this fund to supply meals to overwhelmed families recovering from illness or to buy special items for families with small children in the house or maybe just for senior adults. So the cash donations would give us a little bit of flexibility. We also wanted to let you know about some volunteer opportunities we have. Because we are ramping worship back up, we could use people to help us register attendance and also to take temperatures. And we're beginning to live stream our services, so if you'd like to be trained on how to do this, it would help free Michael Blair up so he doesn't have to be here to pre-record our online services and run our live stream. So let's find a way that we can spread the work around a little bit. And then finally, if you've got any warm socks, gloves, toboggans, or blankets that you'd like to donate to Daily Bread, bring them here by the church, and I'd be happy to help distribute them. Or if you'd like to join me when we take them over there, let me know, and I'd love to have some company. But it is time for us now to set our hearts and minds toward worship.
Thank you.
Wanted to lift up to you a few of our prayer concerns. You may not have heard about some of these, but a couple of weeks ago, Carl Doman passed away, and then Dan Trombley's service of resurrection was this past Monday. Gary Johnson's brother Gaines passed away last week, and his wife has also been in the hospital during this time, so we pray for her. Tom and Bev Moon have been sick and are recovering. Ben Stapleton, his parents have been ill, and then Misty Graham Stapleton's father has been dealing with some health issues as well. Mitch Robinson is in the hospital. We want to continue to lift up Allison Horner's sister, Melanie Sandlin. Larry Music is recovering from back surgery. Bill Grigsby is home from a recent stay in the hospital. Lynn Leach is going to be having some upcoming treatments. Ronnie Malloy had another hospital stay but is home now. And we're asking you to be in prayer for a family in our church who is concerned about one of their number who is facing a recurrence of their cancer. And then Becky Millen has asked for prayers for her youngest son and daughter-in-law, Joshua and Amanda Millen, who are recovering from COVID. And then Bill Black, who is one of the head administrators at Morristown Hamblin, has been transferred to Vanderbilt. And then we got a couple of celebrations. Keziah Ann Jolly was born on Valentine's Day to Andrew and Abigail Jolly. Grandparents are Lisa and Randall, and then great-grandmother is Joyce Jolly and Tom and Nadine Parker. And then last Sunday, Caroline Ford Smith was baptized, and she is the daughter of Catherine and Kevin Smith and granddaughter of Tom and Kelly Strait. But let us join now in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you thanking you for the opportunity to be together in worship, to be the body of Christ. And though the way that we receive the Lord's Supper is different this week, we are thankful that we've got this wonderful image of Jesus sitting around the table with his 12 disciples. We pray that you would continue to help us to expand our table, to look for different ways that we might reach out in love and in grace to our community. We thank you for this opportunity to return to worship in our building. It's been a long time. And we are just so grateful that it seems as if things are trending in the right direction with this virus, but we pray that you would help us to continue to be diligent and to watch over those who are dealing with the after effects of this virus. We pray that you would continue to watch over our healthcare workers and first responders. We ask that you would be with us during this time of worship. And in all that we do, everywhere that we go, and every word that comes out of our mouth, we pray that you would help us praise you for the gift that we have of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson comes from the 16th chapter of Exodus, verses 4 through 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are prepared to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread, all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 6, starting with verse 35. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and will raise them up at the last day.'" The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I am by no means a savvy investor. I never check the Dow or any of those other things. I don't understand in the least how the stock market works, all the ins and outs of putting money into a company, counting on them to succeed, thus earning me more money. In the same way, I sure don't understand why people would risk money by betting that a company will fail, but people clearly make a lot of money on it. This has been in the news recently with a company called GameStop. Now, I know GameStop. I have been in their store many a times with my guy friends in college who love playing video games, along with Brian and Ethan. I'm pretty sure I could get you to any of the GameStop stores between Morristown, Knoxville, and Maryville. I think I have visited every single one of them. Apparently, though, as the story goes, there were some Wall Street gurus who were betting that GameStop was going to go out of business a few weeks ago. When their fans got wind of this, they began to buy up the stock at alarming rates. And I don't understand how all of this happens, but these young people completely upended the plans of these financial experts. I'm sure that when the financial experts began betting against GameStop, they ran a risk-to-reward analysis that showed them that they had a higher chance of reward and a lower amount of risk. What these financial experts did not count into their risk-to-reward analysis was the young people who loved GameStop, that for them it was an institution that they grow up loving, a place where they could go and find not just recreation, but a place where they were accepted, a place where they belonged, a company that encouraged them in their pursuit of winning games. In our first reading this morning, the Israelites have been delivered from slavery. The people have just watched in shock and awe as God turned Egypt upside down on their behalf. They watched the river run with blood, the streets filled with frogs and locusts. They watched as the firstborn children were killed. They watched in safety as the soldiers drowned after trying to cross the Red Sea to come and catch them and bring them back to be slaves once again. When leaving Egypt, they weren't risking a whole lot. They had few material possessions, and any life was better than the life of a slave. So the reward seemed high, and they followed Moses, an unlikely leader if there ever was one, a murderer and a stutterer, out of Egypt. Oh, but once in the wilderness, the balance between risk and reward starts to tilt in the other direction. Food rations had run out, water was hard to come by, and now they are longing for their flesh pots by the fire back in Egypt. So they cry out to God, and of course, God hears their cries and provides. Every morning, they are to go out and collect manna, a breadish substance that would be lying on the ground each morning. And they were not to get more than they needed. They were to only get what they needed for that day so that the next morning when they got up, they once again would trust God to provide enough for that day. And this happened every single day. Every day they were called to get up and trust God to provide for their most basic needs, food and water. Here in the wilderness, they have their first taste of physical freedom and spiritual freedom. Through this manna, this bread, they were learning to trust God and to worry less. And in this freedom from worry and anxiety about their basic needs, they could focus on other things like taking care of each other, showing kindness to one another, like worship and concentrating on this newly formed relationship with God. Their relationship with God was new. But up to this point, God did nothing but keep showing up right on time with a miraculous gesture in response to every one of their needs. And yet fear and anxiety still control their hearts and minds. From the comfort of our first world lives, I'm prone to judge them. If I had prayed for food and it started raining bread, and if I had prayed for freedom and God parted an ocean, I like to believe I'd be walking around Camp Israel without a worry in the world. My belly would be full and my faith in God to fix things would be as steady as a rock. Never would I ask if the Lord was with us or not. Of course God is with us. I would be telling everyone that God has done nothing but show up right on time since the Israelites first met God. Now, it's only been 3 months since God parted the water for just the right amount of time for the Israelites to pass through. To us, the Israelites appear to have a pretty short memory. From our perspective, questioning whether or not God will continue to provide manna sounds like a slightly irrational overreaction to a pretty temporary problem. To us, they should have known better than test God or doubt God's existence. We would have prayed and been prepared to receive God's response. And yet, when you and I have food, packed in our pantry shelves and fridges and freezers enough to feed us for the foreseeable future, don't we still worry about where our next meal will come from sometimes? We still fall victim to the worries and anxieties of this life. We still find ourselves at every turn running risk-to-reward analysis before committing our time, our money, our bread. If we jump ahead to the gospel reading for this morning, we see once again that people haven't changed a lot since that time in the wilderness. In the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. The next day they come back looking for him again, and when they find him, Jesus says, "You've come looking for me, not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, I filled your stomachs, and for free." When Jesus tells them that they are not to worry or even work for food that perishes, but instead should spend their time developing their relationship with God, working for the spiritual food that sustains us all. When they are confused and waffle, they ask Jesus for a sign, a clue as to what this work is. They even use Moses and the manna in the wilderness to argue with Jesus. Then Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." For the Israelites in the wilderness, the manna was to be a physical reminder of God's love, his care, and his concern for their physical well-being, so that they might drop their worries and anxieties and in hope and joy concentrate on broadening and strengthening their relationship with each other and with God. They were given the opportunity to worry less and risk more for the sake of God, the one who rains down manna from heaven for them. Risk trusting, risk joy, risk leaving behind a life filled with fear. In the same way, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, another physical reminder of how much God loves and cares for us, a token that God loves us so much that he is willing to send his only son to die for us. If that doesn't show us how far God is willing to go for us, then nothing else will. Talk about risk versus reward. Yet how many of us spend our lives tangled up in anxiety, worry, frustration, and anger? I do. Last week, I cited a study that one of the top things most Americans worry about is money, aptly nicknamed bread. Will there be enough? Will it continue showing up? Will there be leftovers for another day? But in Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we are called to worry less and risk more for the sake of Christ, the one who suffered the terror of the cross for me and for you. Risk trusting the same Christ. Risk holding out your hand and receiving a life of joy. Risk leaving behind a life filled with fear. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And this morning, we are concentrating on the object of bread. Bread has been a staple of life since the beginning. Bread was one of the first things that we as humans learned to make to feed ourselves. Is it any wonder that Jesus declares himself to be bread? Warm, filling, able to not just sustain life, but to make a meal more enjoyable. So this week, bread is a physical reminder of God's love for us. A reminder that our lives are not just to be fretting and worrying over the physical things of life, but to trust that God will provide that, giving us the freedom to concentrate on worship, on service to others, and asks us to step away from running a risk-to-reward analysis when it comes to serving others and serving the church. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I am reminded of the risk God was willing to take for our reward. We are reminded in the broken bread and the cup of Jesus about the great risk of God's love, love that would allow God's self to be incarnated in our vulnerable flesh so that we would see how to follow God's love. In this bread today, we remember the risk and the reward of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. May we live lives that reflect this loving reward of life abundant and grace beyond measure. Thanks be to God. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for communion.
We continue to believe that we must earn our way into God's heart. But God's grace is given to each of us, for all of us, freely, unconditionally, and always. Would you join me now in our prayer of confession? It seems we cannot decide, cloud of glory. We say we will live to serve others, but we end up meeting only our needs. We claim to live in a way that honors Christ, but we do not take Him to work or school or home. We believe that the gospel can transform lives, at least for those who need it, not us. Forgive us, Presence of Peace, and instead of grumblers, may we be ambassadors of grace. Instead of continual complaining, may we carry compassion to the hurting. Instead of whiners, may we be workers with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to reach out and bring the kingdom of God to everyone we meet. Would you join me now in a moment of silence? This is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. God graces everyone with the same gifts: mercy, restoration, new life. God has kept the covenant. We have been forgiven. We have been made new people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." In company with all who hunger for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ and the sharing of this life-giving bread. Let us pray. Mighty God, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. As we give thanks for the gift of this bread, Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. And as we lift up the cup of your covenant, Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon all of us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. O blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. And now, friends, I invite you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, broken for you. Take, eat, and give thanks. And the blood of Christ, shed for you. Take, drink, and give thanks. Amen.
For the white is true, and for the white is true.
now, friends, let us receive this blessing. It's one of the oldest blessings in our tradition. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.